The second habit of the heart, though, is a bit of a correction to that first one, because it's impossible for anyone, I think, but a saint to maintain a moment-by-moment, day-by-day awareness that we are connected with everyone else. There's something in the human psyche that sees life in terms of us and them. There will always be people that I will feel closer to and more identified with than some other people because of our backgrounds or how we think or what we enjoy or where our comfort level is. So there will always be us and them. But the good news is that us and them doesn't need to mean us versus them. So the second habit of the heart is about an appreciation of otherness. This notion that by crossing lines of difference in my life, I can become a larger person. I have more to learn from those who are different from me than I do from those who are like me. And when you walk across those lines and start discovering that the world is a larger place and a much more interesting place than you knew, you become larger in yourself and you become more at home on the face of the earth. So that's the second habit of the heart, an appreciation of otherness.
Thank you, Tim. So this appreciation of the value of otherness, not so easily done in my lived experience. I find myself continually moving to me versus them, distinguishing the other and forgetting it's the and, Nancy. So our invitation is going to be for you all to be in breakouts for a period of time and to share with each other about that. Before we go into the breakouts, though, I'm going to share a screen just to remind us of what Georgia and I refer to the touchstones of this work. We would have gone through these with you last week. I think you've seen them a couple times in your emails, but please bring these into your sharing time. The touchstone of welcome, give and receive welcome. Welcome who shows up for yourself today and in your listening partners. Be present as fully as possible. Remember that this is by invitation, not demand. As Parker says, this is not a share or die event. So share at the level that you're comfortable sharing. Respect other people's truths. No fixing, no advising, no correcting each other, no recommending good books and films and a therapist. Respond to each other in open and honest questions. In our first sharing, we don't think you'll have time for that, but later in the session today, we hope that you will offer some genuine inquiry questions. Turn to wonder. If you feel prickly or reactive to something I've said, something Parker said, something a listening partner has said, be curious about that in yourself, or be curious about what you find yourself agreeing with. Tune in to your inner teacher. Honor some silence. I've been talking really fast. What we want to do is to slow down, tune in, and share from that place. And a reminder that everything that we share with each other, especially in these breakout sessions, is confidential. And one of my favorites is know that it's possible that whatever shows up is a seed planted. I like predictability. But this touchstone reminds me to be open to what else might happen. So I'm going to share into the chat some questions for you. Let me look those over with you all before Tim gets us into breakouts. I'm trying to give Tim plenty of time to get the breakout set up too. So he's so generous.
Oh, we got it. No worries, Nancy.
Good. Oh, yep. Great. Thank you, Tim. So as you move into your breakouts, I'd like you to just slow down a little bit and take some time to think about this habit again. And you might want to share with your listening partners what touched you in Parker's video or what challenged you. if you took the adventure of connecting with someone who you might see as an other in your life, what did you find out over the week in those conversations? What was surprising to you about a person you might have spoken to? Or do you have a story from your own life that you can share that represents this value of otherness? Or perhaps you've seen a recent news story that you'd like to talk about that represents the value of otherness. Again, there's lots of representation in our modern current media about how otherness divides us. Have you found something that represents how we valued that? And then if you watched the videos that Judith mentioned, you're welcome to share about those as well. So this is really up to you. We're going to be giving you 15 minutes in the breakout time. That's about 5 minutes each. Tim, I bet you're going to do a little reminder before it closes down too.
Yep. So you should have a notification popping up here in just a moment saying that you've been invited to a group. All groups should have 3 people in them. Some might have 4 just because of the way the numbers work. But if you find yourself in a group with 1 or 2, don't worry, because I'm going to move you to another one to make sure that you have enough partners for conversation. So when this pops up, please accept the invite. And as Nancy said, I will call us back in about 15 minutes and you'll get a 1 or 2 minute reminder before we close the session.
Thanks, Tim.
Yeah, here we go. Looks like we're all back.
Okay. All right. Well, welcome back, everybody. And what a delightful conversation. Before we move into the third habit, we wanted to take just a moment or two for a little group sharing. And Tim and Nancy are going to guide this process. A reminder that if you have something that you'd like to share, you can raise your hand either via the chat or that, in the chat, there's a way to raise your hand. You can wave. There's no guarantee you'll get seen, but eventually you will, or just unmute yourself and speak up. So the floor is open. We have time for maybe 1 or 2 people to share.
Well, in our group, this is Maura. In our group, we reflected on our early childhood and our families and how we learned the sense of otherness from our parents and what they taught us. And so it was nice to go back, into our histories and connect at that level about, how we were exposed to the sense of the other and reached out to others. So that was really meaningful to remember previous generations.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah, that's wonderful. One more.
I was just struck by, how much quite a few members of our group did some traveling and how that made us more sensitive and appreciative of others. And so how traveling and that experience helped us in that way.
Yes. Yes. Traveling can be so expansive. And I was thinking just traveling through life, that's like from what we grew up in throughout life where we get exposed. And if we're paying attention, we grow. Okay. Well, thank you, everyone. And we're now going to turn the corner here and begin to look at habit number 3, an ability to hold tension in life-giving ways. And Nancy is going to do a screen share, and I'm going to read this habit. So the ability to hold tension in life-giving ways. Our inner and outer lives are filled with contradictions from the between our own behavior and our aspirations to the information and ideas we cannot abide because they run counter to our convictions. If we fail to hold them creatively, the nonstop contradictions of our lives will frighten and paralyze us and take us out of the action. But when we learn to hold them in a heart-opening way, they may open a new way of understanding ourselves and the world, enhancing our lives and allowing us to enhance the lives of others. We are imperfect and broken beings who live out our lives in an imperfect and broken world. The genius of the human heart lies in its capacity to hold tension in ways that energize and draw us forward instead of tearing us apart. So what we'll do now is Tim is going to share a video that just delves a little deeper into this whole notion of embracing change.
The idea of accepted impermanence.
Probably the first time my heart broke, first relationship ending. I don't even know that it was so much that I thought it would last forever, but that you don't have to think about it ending till it ends.
Interacting with my father, who's 88, he's not attached to anything. I'm able to experience him much more like I experienced my son when he was first born.
Things that I can't control, the things I can't predict, are frightening to me. Impermanence and change is something that I struggle with because it has that great element of unknown to it.
Within the impermanence, there is a taste of reality, an experience of truth, which is worth the pain of getting into the impermanence to discover.
My lesson in impermanence has come in the form of cancer. The joy of impermanence. It allows me to appreciate. It allows me to appreciate and value and cherish. Because it can all be gone. I get that now.
This reality of impermanence, the awareness of impermanence, winds up being almost like a torch that comes in and burns off the chaff, burns off the debris, and leaves only that which is truly of value.
Our existence with these other beings who are sharing space is finite. This whole life is a play and it's a movie. It doesn't just mean that I'm the, you know, that it's my movie and that, you know, it's for me. It's for all of us.
Impermanence might contribute towards greater peace in the world. But all these conflicts that look so real and so permanent can be muted by just changing the way we look at it.
This day is precious, this life is precious, and have a greater commitment to coming up with some resolution now rather than thinking later is going to be here.
The present, what do I do with it? We come to life involuntarily. We did not have the choice. And we leave involuntarily. We don't have the choice.
Okay. So in just a moment, we're going to go back into our breakouts. We'll be in new triads this time. And I'm just going to share with you, Nancy's going to share in the chat some of the reflection questions we'd like you to consider. Can begin to get a challenge in your community or in your own life, but especially in your community, could be your family or congregation. Some challenge that you're facing that seems to bring up a lot of tension for people. How have you seen people successfully navigating that tension? And perhaps describe a moment recently when you felt like giving up on something or someone because of that tension. You can begin thinking about that while Tim takes on putting us back into breakout rooms.
We're ready to go if you all are ready.
Okay, we're ready.
Okay, same instructions as last time, friends. We'll be back in about 15 minutes.
Let's hear it for good news. Everybody can use some good news these days.
That's right, Nancy.
Even if you were scared out of your wits for a little bit.
Okay, Nancy, since there's just a few of us, maybe we're all here
I
now.
I think there's more than a few of us now, Gail, yes. But go ahead.
Do I know you from Star King? Okay, I thought so. Yeah.
I've been around the block a couple times. Yeah, these almost 40-year-old kids.
That's right. But you've moved from Santa Barbara. A lot of things
going on. I have not moved. I've moved temporarily. I'm here in Philadelphia, awaiting the granddaughter who's going to be here next week, folks. I probably won't do a show until next week, but hang on to your hat. So
wonderful.
So we'll see.
Congratulations.
Yeah, talking about good news, but actually what we have time to do now is talk about this, this idea, this concept, this habit of holding tension in life-giving ways. And so what emerged for you or from your groups? Again, you don't want to share for each other, but it was there a common thread in your sharing? Were there some insights? And again, Tim can help me notice hands waving, people trying to speak up or hands raised, but what do you have to share? What emerged in this?
I will speak up.
Hi,
Nance. I think what emerged for me is becoming aware that, you know, holding tension like that can be an act of courage. It's courageous to do that. And it's not necessarily easy, but it's great. It's an act of courage.
Thank you. I see Judith has her hand raised.
Well, I just wanted to mention that a few of us, what came to mind about the challenge from our community is facing is the Black Lives Matter issue, that there was a lot of sympathy and agreement in the beginning when the murder happened, but I haven't heard much about Black Lives Matter, so I hope that it doesn't get covered up. And I think that should be at the forefront. It's an issue that's very important.
Judith, if I were to tag on to that, that's part of the knowing what's real, which is real, is that Black lives are at risk in the United States, and knowing what's possible. They wouldn't have to be. They don't have to be. So recognizing both of those things is how we are in that tension, and then we stay in that bias, and that lifted up the courageous conversation that it takes. Or Judith, that hope that you just expressed, that you hope it doesn't go silent. And it will go silent out of human habit. This is what makes this habit so radical. Those of us who are willing in this, the example of Black Lives Matter, to say, this is real, this is possible, we're staying in here courageously. Doesn't mean we have the solutions by ourselves, but it means we're staying in here and we're staying together in life-giving ways. Thank you for raising both of those comments. Who else has something? And I see my internet is unstable. So Georgia, you might want to help moderate this conversation if I keep wobbling here.
Yeah, and just as a reminder, friends, you can type in the chat if you have something to say, or you can unmute yourself to begin speaking, or you can raise your hand by clicking participants and raise hand.
This is Yvonne. I would just like to share that in our group, we talked both about tensions within congregations and trying to find leaders. And we also discussed, I shared that I grew up Catholic and have decided not to be a part of that institution, but I was able to find like-minded people, and we began our own community of breaking bread together once a week and sharing world, community, individual, if you want to say tensions as well as issues. And I found that extremely gratifying. And now I've just moved to Walnut Creek. So now I'm now having to try to figure out how do you create that. And I absolutely am enjoying Palmer's, that chapter 6 on both education and congregations was totally relevant. And I just want to thank you for everything that you're doing to make us more aware and give us channels and possibilities of where we can take this. Thank you.
I can turn in Michael. Do we got your hands up?
Yep, too? We do.
And I'm sorry, it looks like Darlene has something too. So how about Catherine and Michael and then Darlene?
I'm unmuted. When I was watching the video on impermanence, absolutely leapt to my mind was Dave Rico's Five Givens, which those of us from Word and Life are pretty familiar with, which are everything changes and ends. Things do not always go according to plan. Life is not fair. Pain is part of life. And people are not loving and loyal all the time.
Thank you, Michael. That is life-giving. It's life-giving. Those are life-giving tools to bring right here into this this gap and this tension. Darlene, you were wanting to share.
Thanks, Nancy. I was just going to piggyback on Yvonne, who had said about a successful way that she coped with building community. And in our group, we talked about how COVID has minimized many of the ways that we're able to interact with others. And despite COVID and because of the raising up of Black Lives Matter, two of us in our group of three were engaged in other classes and learning. And so I'm just speaking to the question, what are the most successful ways you've seen people deal with that tension? And one of the ways is to continue our learning. But also for me, I don't think Judy mentioned this, but for me, it's also in two of the classes I'm in, there are 50 and 60 people. And that is heart opening for me in the sense of they're there too because they want to know more and they want, I think I can assume they want to know more. And it may be also that they want to make a difference. So that's a way of holding the tension and yet taking forward steps also.
Darlene, that reminds me too of, I think something Lois Capps surfaced for us when she was talking about even her interactions with Parker Palmer, and that's about the humility this work requires. And so knowing we don't know it all and willing to educate ourselves, take it in not just intellectually but into our hearts as well. Maura put something here in the comments. It seems as if we may be at the beginning of a new journey to create new openings for new connections with the other.
Yeah, Nancy, that comment reminds me of an author named Bayo Okomolafe who talks about this being a time of fugitivity, that yeah. this opening, you know, this new opening that Mara is speaking about there is one of exile, of wandering into a new creative, you know, connectivity with others, but that every opening sort of comes with that deepening sense of rupture, you know, mm-hmm. also. And he sometimes contrasts rupture and rapture, you know, that this is a time of rupture and that these new openings usually, you know, call us into new places. So it's just totally affirming that sense that even for me, I think that there's some deepening calls to question, you know, our ability to really create new connections without conceiving of an entirely new mode of operation, you know, together as a civilization. Like we, you know, there's the old Einstein quote, we can't fix, you know, this, yeah, the problems with the same problem that created them. And so, mm-hmm, so this place of rupture and new opening and, you know, making new connections is going to require that we re-envision the ways in which we can be connected. Mm-hmm. And it's exciting and scary, you know?
Mm-hmm. And Tim, you may have seen the chat, the request that you, if you would put that author in the chat for folks as well.
Yes, I can do that.
Great, thank you. So this is the other thing about holding tension in life-giving ways. Doesn't mean it's necessarily a happy place always, right? It's the place where we welcome everything that shows up, because that's what transforms us and allows an opening for something new. I'm going to read something from A Hidden Wholeness, another book by Parker Palmer. It may sound familiar. Parker weaves in a lot of his thinking into a lot of his books, but he wrote about the insight at the heart of nonviolence is that we live in a tragic gap, a gap between the way things are and the way we know they might be. It is a gap that never has been and never will be closed. If we want to live nonviolent lives, we must learn to stand in the tragic gap, and as Annette mentioned, with courage, faithfully holding the tension between reality and possibility. And so in that tragic gap, if we can expand our heart muscle, the muscle of the human heart doesn't have to shatter, but can break open and expand, the new possibilities can emerge, things we don't know, but it's a collective process. I've got time for maybe another comment or two. Anybody else? Jackie, gotcha.
All right. What you said, I don't know if any of you have done any Gurdjieff work in this group. I imagine some of you have, but it's the idea of the third. There are two ideas. The third one comes in. Without the third one, there cannot be a fourth. And the fourth one is the final resolution of the two ideas. It's his theory of three that he goes on, that the fourth makes the difference, but it cannot happen without this third to pull the two together.
That's really curious. I would love to hear an example of that. You know, because we always hear about the tension of the opposites and just go into the third as the resolution that gets us to the new place, but I've never heard of the fourth. And so now I'm really curious. I want to learn more about that and see how it's happening in our world today.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Boy, that sounds like some extended learning, doesn't it, Georgia? Uh-huh, have I ever does. Heard anything?
It does.
So Maura, thank you for that invitation, because I think George is going to take us to where we're turning next and,
right,
and where you can look for some of exactly what Maura just mentioned, where it's not this one or even necessarily because you're holding these two, this one, but this one then gets mixed up and there is something we couldn't imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. Georgia.
So Nancy is going to briefly post sort of the extended learning for the week, and Judith will be sending these out to you shortly after our session this morning. And a similar format that we've been doing, there's a suggested adventure of the week, and I won't go into details, you can do that yourself, but the basic idea is to reflect on attention that you're currently holding in your life, some place where you feel a conflict between where you are and where you would like to be. and then other options for extended learning. Just simply notice in your own awareness your ability to hold tension in life-giving ways and to just take time each day to reflect about that. You can find a current news story that demonstrates that. We include each week a scriptural reading. This one is from Romans for you to read and reflect upon. And there are some questions there for you to think about. To read and reflect, this is a wonderful essay by Janice Wilberg's Fury Cannot Touch Me. You might want to take that in and just spend some time reflecting. And again, a couple of videos to watch if you would like. So we'll get our continue to stir up and try to incorporate and internalize these wonderful interlocking habits that we're taking on each week. And your reading homework is chapter 7. And I think that's it for this morning. Our moderator will end our time together.
Okay, our moderator is here.
Thank you, Judith.
We're all taking time turns. Pat is not with us. She's getting ready for her move from Arizona on to Northern California. So the village is taking over here. So thank you, Nancy and Georgia, for the background and practice that you've given us today in how to actually handle the tensions that we're all struggling with. We're beginning to grasp that this is a way of life. So let's let Tony Robbins, another famous trainer, have the last word. He says, it's not knowing what to do, it's doing what you know. We hope that you'll join us next week as we lean into another practice that helps heal our democracy. We're getting ready to vote now. The election is coming up. So this is what the title is for next week. Hope and courage in the face of despair and fear. Developing a sense of personal voice and agency. See you next Thursday, and that's October 29th. And you know that this video is going to be, the audio is going to be up on the website. So as soon as that gets up in another day or so, I'll send out the work that George just showed on the screen. Have a wonderful week, everybody.